Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
To convince a child to keep walking, try switching roles with them. Let the child play the role of the parent. They'll immediately do what you want them to do.
You are raising in your home people that the Bible is very clear about their status. They need to be converted, not just a conformity of their behavior. They need a transforming encounter with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the ultimate priority.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Don't worry. Your safety, it's our concern. So you're safe here, so you don't need to worry about your safety, because we're going to make sure that you stay safe with our safety programs. Have you noticed that trend? This is Wretched Radio. You can watch just about any commercial that is COVID-related these days, and you're going to see that four-letter word, S-A-F-E, safe. And when we see a word or a phrase or an idea used a lot in our society, we would do well to stop and ask the question, why is this word trending? Why is this word so popular? Why are advertisers promoting this particular word? It is worthy of the Christian's consideration because it can give us a little bit of a heartbeat on how our society is thinking. We do not want to take any of the recommendations from society's musings about how life should be lived, but that does not mean that they cannot rightly identify how people are thinking and feeling. Science, without God involved, just pure science, which actually involves God, but you get my point, it can observe. So go ahead, you observe, you do all the studying that you want to, do all of the polling that you care to do with your polling groups. And I'll take that data and I'll tell you what it means with my Bible in hand. I do not need somebody in a lab coat to tell me how the world operates, why we're here, how we're supposed to live, where we're going when we die or not, because they don't have God's word. And so I reject all of that. I don't want it. If I had a choice, well, would you like some of their gleanings? No, I wouldn't, because I have a sufficient word. Having said that, if they want to take the time and the money to go about the business of polling to let me know what's going on out there, I'm all for it. I'll take that information and I'll happily use that information. By the way, speaking of polling and taking the time, here's a societal indicator. This is from CBMW, Council of Biblical Manhood and Womanhood.org, CBMW.org, marriage in rapid decline, even among evangelicals. This was a Census Bureau survey taken in 2018. This is scary. Oh, it's 35%. I think yesterday I thought it was maybe between 20 and 30%. 35% of those 25 to 34-year-old men were married. That is a decline from 50% in 2005. 15 percentage point drop in a decade. Young people are not getting married. Men, I don't know how it can't be women, but This particular poll just talked about young men are not getting married and they should be getting married. What? I don't get, honestly, I scratch my head. I don't get it. That these young men, they're just dithering. And I don't know if it's because they're consumed with video games, pornography, or just themselves. Why aren't they interested in getting married? In finding a godly goyel and saying, I do. I don't get it. From CBMW, it's not an overstatement to say that if this trajectory holds, our society will collapse. Well, there's an observation. Now, I'm more inclined to accept that one because it's from Christians at CBMW. I'm not interested in what scientists say about this. They can tell me nothing about culture based on these statistics. Only the Bible can tell me what to think about this. And the Bible says, let marriage be held in honor among all. So I know this is a bad thing. Does culture know this is a bad thing? No, culture doesn't care. Culture will take every good thing and trash it. Culture takes marriage and does. Marriage is an excellent thing. Created by God, instituted by God, a transcendent picture of the relationship between God, Jesus Christ, and His church. And anytime the culture sees something good, it's going to trash it. Another example, music. Is music good? You bet it is. It's a gift from God. What do we do with it? Driving by this car, pulled up next to it at a stoplight. Doesn't have his window down. It's just this thumping, bumping sound coming out of this car from this kid who's vaping, no less. I rolled down my window because I just wanted to hear. Well, let's just say that if I had my druthers, I'd wash that radio out with soap. Because what was coming out of the speakers was just foul and angry sounding. What does the world do? It takes something good, it takes something godly, and it ruins it. It does it with music, it does it with marriage, it does it with anything that begins with the letter M. It will take it and devolve it. The world can't tell me that because they're bent on it. The Bible can tell me, let marriage be held in honor among all. This is a trend. Marriage rates within the church are following the same trend lines as those outside of the church. That's a problem. When the church is following the culture, this is something, Pastor, that you might want to be aware of. And I'm not suggesting. Well, okay, I'm kind of suggesting, but I wouldn't tell you to do a sermon series on marriage. But this might be something you might want to consider addressing in your church. Hey, young men, you're not married and you are able to get married. What are you doing? What is wrong with you? What is your misunderstanding about this institution that is keeping you from going, I want that. I want in, and I want in really bad. I want a bride. I want children. I want a picket fence. What's going on? And start preaching about the joys of marriage and the good things that it brings, including the bad things, which are good things, because they are sanctifying things. This statistic is troubling, to say the least. In late 2018, 51% of evangelicals, 20 to 39, were married, compared to 40% of the population. So we're down 5 percentage points in 5 years. Marriage is not doing well. Bible tells me so. Culture cannot. And so when the culture goes about the business of marketing and advertising, they do well when they study trends. They see what's happening out there. The interpretation, that's up to us. So what do we learn from marketers that are using the word safe and safety like crazy? No matter what store you go into, for your safety, safety first. We want to keep you safe. Put your mask on. There's the Home Depot commercial. The dude is standing in the aisle of the Home Depot with his mask on. Safety. Because that's how you have to talk in a Home Depot commercial. Hey, wait a second. Hey, Jimmy, you can do that voice. Give me a Home Depot voice. At Home Depot. Deeper than that, dude.
Okay.
I think I might be deeper than you right now. At Home Depot.
At Home Depot.
Safety.
Safety.
Well, you can let me do more words than just one. This isn't like we're doing a marriage vow. Safety is not a priority.
At Home Depot, safety is not a priority.
It's a value.
It's a value.
Why do they say that? Because priorities change, but values don't. So we're going to keep you safe at the safe Home Depot for the sake of your safety. They have rightly observed the world is terrified. This is not a commentary on whether or not they should be due to COVID. This is an observation on the reality that they are terrified. Now, you might be thinking, I'm going to say, well, perfect love casts out all fear. No, that would be misquoting that verse, because in the context, it's casts out all fear of judgment. It's not that we don't have rational fears of things that are genuinely scary, but perfect love casts out all fear of judgment. Now, having said that, I do believe that is what they actually are fearing. It's not just getting sick from the COVID flu. It's death. They are terrified of dying. Now, I don't know which statistic that you're following, but give or take, it appears that 99.8 or 9% of the people who get the COVID die, or survive rather. That's astoundingly high if that statistic is right. Nevertheless, you have so many people who are terrified of what? Getting COVID, which in their mind equals death. Marketers are tapping into that fear. They have rightly observed that fear. If you have been asking God to give you an open door to evangelize, a chance to witness to people, I would like to tell you right now, if Home Depot is onto anything, now is the time. Ask somebody, hey, how are you coping? How are you feeling? How are you doing with the COVID? Are you scared? Why? What are you afraid of? Now, it might be other people getting sick and dying, but tell me, you aren't already in the bullseye of having a spiritual conversation with somebody when you're talking about issues of health and death. Let us not let this season go by without using it as an opportunity to identify what is going on in our world, a terror of dying, and let us go about the business of opening up our yammers and saying, oh, friend, I have got such good news for you. You're right to be afraid to die. You should be terrified because it's going to be way worse than you think. But there is good news in Jesus Christ. Use their terror to preach the gospel. This is Wretched Radio. What does $28 buy these days? Well, for starters, it buys an ultrasound. More importantly, it buys a life.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind, but seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
That is one grateful mommy, and I'm certain it will be one grateful baby who was given life because you provided a free ultrasound through preborn.org/wretched. $28 will provide an ultrasound 80% of the time. A mommy who is choosing the termination of her own child will choose life. Will you please consider supporting this very efficient and life-saving ministry that preaches the gospel? Preborn.org/wretched.
Every single day, millions of male men and male women all over the world have to deal with serious issues. Issues like sweatiness and being chased by angry chihuahuas. And this summer, we're going to stand in solidarity with our postal worker friends, and you can too, by saying no to hard copies delivered by mail. That's right, August 14th through the 16th, head on over to wretched.org/digital to take part in our digital download sale. This sale is perfect for our international brothers and sisters, or anyone who doesn't like to pay an arm and a leg for shipping. You'll find tons of Wretched resources marked down to ridiculous prices. And best of all orders $40 or more will receive a free digital copy of Drive-By False Teaching. So head on over to the Wretched store August 14th through the 16th for our annual digital download sale and show our postal worker friends just how much we care. That's wretched.org/digital, wretched.org/digital.
Just when you think that this organization can't be any more fine, the Masters Academy International, this is a ministry worthy of your consideration and support. Training indigenous pastors now in 17 nations around the globe to efficiently equip men who speak the language, know their communities, know the culture, to rightly divide the word of truth and fill empty pulpits. It is brilliant, it is wise, and it is efficient. Please consider supporting the Masters Academy International, wretched.org/pastor. But if that doesn't persuade you, they're dedicating a week of prayer and they're inviting you to join them in praying for indigenous pastors who are under a great deal of pressure and even threats. Please give your consideration to the Masters Academy International at wretched.org/pastor.
Names of God. One name the Bible gives to God is the Greek word despotes, which means absolute ruler. Despotes is related to the English word despot. As absolute ruler, God has ownership rights over all mankind. Yet our Master and Lord Jesus Christ became a man, suffered and died on the cross for his people. The absolute ruler is also our example of ultimate humility. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Good morning, everyone. I'm so happy to welcome you to the Grace Community Church, peaceful protest.
This is Wretched Radio. That was the clip heard round the world. John MacArthur at the opening of the church service on Sunday morning at Grace Community Church, informing everybody they were attending a peaceful protest. Needless to say, the tweets, they went flying, as tweets are inclined to do, which actually reminds me of an article that was just written by Tim Challies, an observation on point, how to respond to social media enemies. The early promise of social media, it would help us make friends, but it seems better suited to help us make enemies. Ain't that the truth? And so it is. John MacArthur, I thought rather cleverly and strategically opening up the church service that way, didn't get thumbs up from everybody. A few tweets that hit the internet, not going to use the people's name because that's not the point of this particular screed. Prideful protest would be more accurate, tweeted one person. Filled with logical fallacies, poor hermeneutics, endangerment of members, and a poor national testimony, wrote another person. Another person said, what? No black hoodie, John? I don't even know what that means exactly, but I don't think it was a compliment. Could be wrong about that. Question, how should we be tweeting about the decision of Grace Community Church to open up on Sunday for the second Sunday in a row? Most people in attendance, the place was absolutely smashed with folks. Not wearing masks, no social distancing going on in the pews. A lot of people, well, needless to say, not happy about it. So the question then that I think we should all ask is this. Was Grace Community Church right to make that decision? Or you could phrase it, was that decision right? And I would like to suggest to you, without sounding postmodern, instead sounding a la Romans 14, that was the right decision for them. It was the right decision for them. Not because we don't think that there is any right decisions about anything, a la Foucault. No, we do. But we also believe that a local church can make a local decision, and it might not be the decision that you would make in your church. And instead of screaming at somebody for making a decision that you wouldn't, I think that we have to allow other churches to make those decisions. And they don't demand our crabbing. And I guess I would say on the other side, if we're going to be fair about this, to state that they made the right decision for every church, that would be wrong too, wouldn't it? If you say, hey, well, if Grace Community Church opened, then you've got to open too. Well, that's an incorrect ecclesiology, in my opinion, also. That's the decision that they made. So I don't think any of us, frankly, should be saying one way or another. Really, if we want to contribute to the conversation to be productive, that's swell. Hey, our church is working through this. How did you deal with that? And does anybody know why they concluded this on this particular aspect? Well, that's all cool, but this or saying you better do likewise, I don't think that that is the principle that should be applied in this particular instance. I have to confess to you, I don't know what I would decide. Besides, I'm not in California. That's one big difference right there. We're in Georgia. It's different here. This last weekend was my middle daughter's wedding. I think two people wore a mask in the congregation. It was outdoors, by the way. But two people wore a mask. And to them, I would say fine. To the people who didn't, I would say fine. Because here in Georgia, it is not nearly the same as it is in California. So I I texted some pictures to some friends in California. And you know what their response was when they saw the congregation? What, no masks? Why? Now, it didn't even cross my mind here in Georgia, but it did to my friends in California. Why? Because they're in California and I'm in Georgia, to state the obvious, where it's just different. And that alone is going to lead different churches to come to different conclusions and decisions. Can we do better in talking about one another and a local church decision than to shoot at them? And just so you don't think that I'm just singing the praises or defending John MacArthur. On the other hand, I don't think that we should be saying to anybody, because Grace Community Church of MacArthur did it, you better do it too. That's just not right either. And I think they would say so also. Our communication should be better than the world's. Back to Tim Challey's, in dealing with people, especially our brothers and sisters. Here's what Jesus says to us when we face online enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. I'm not even sure that we're applying that even remotely sometimes when we're talking to one another. Time will tell. I just think that persecution is going to make for some very interesting Christian bedfellows. When we are potentially getting clamped down, locked down, incarcerated, I wonder if we're going to still have this edginess about us toward one another. Do you struggle with that? I know you're right, because I know I'm right. That's how it works. I know it. But when I meet somebody on a particular issue, because I know what's behind that particular issue, if they demonstrate in any way that they're sympathetic toward that issue, I can just right away, just, it's like, oh. And honestly, this is not good. I'm telling you, this is not good. I can very quickly in my heart wonder if they're a Christian. I wonder if they're really saved, where they stand on that particular issue. I can't believe it. So they're wearing masks in church? Kool-Aid drinkers? Is that what they're? They're not wearing masks in church? Are they love Trump? They just don't believe in science? What's the matter? And I can get even worse than that, can't you? And I wonder if, when you and I are shackled to one another, if we're going to be critiquing one another to the degree that we do on social media. Where's your black hoodie, John? What is, oh, I don't even know what that means. Prideful protest, as if we can read the heart of what's going on at the people at Grace Community Church. And yet we make these judgments about one another so quickly on the internet and so quickly in conversations. And so quickly when they're not there. We just have to do better than that. And I would ask a question that maybe time will reveal the answer. Is God using this persecution that appears to be coming, among other things, for us to just knock this off? To knock off the gnah toward one another? Perhaps. Tim Challey's. Maybe we see this even clearer when we shift the word order a little. Your enemies, love them. Your haters, do good to them. Your cursers, bless them. Your abusers, pray for them. It's worth taking a quick look at each one of these four commands to consider how they apply as we venture into the online world. Love your enemies, not hate them. Love them. How do you help them to learn? How do you help them to love Jesus? He's not calling us to feel for them. He's calling us to do love for them. I'm sorry, I'm having a flashback. Did I mention my daughter got married this weekend? And the sermon was so spot on about love. It is not a feeling. Christian agape love is something that we do. It is something that we obey. It has nothing to do with, you know what? I feel like being nice to my wife today because I'm in a good mood and I love her. You're in a foul mood and you still love and you still serve and you still treat nicely and you don't snip. You just do it, whether you feel like it or not. That's what love is. And that's how we should be treating our enemies and at least our fellow believers. Do good to those who hate you. All the effort that those people put into bringing you misery, you need to put into bringing them joy. Bless those who curse you. willing to absorb their hateful words and to respond with words that are kind. This is what we are called to. We are countercultural people. We are not Fox News debaters. We are so distinctly different. We're not Americans first. We are Christians first. And that means we are just going to talk and respond differently. We're going to do differently. We're going to pray for those who abuse you. It's to commit that abusive person to the Lord, to ask God to pour out blessings on them. If you perhaps find yourself quick to be just a flamethrower or to get annoyed with people who disagree with you on political issues or social matters, remember the words of Jesus and that we are a peculiar people. This is Wretched Radio.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The Mission Ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text, an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the Mission Ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the Mission Ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org.
This is Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. The cancel culture has reached outer space. NASA is changing the names of planets and other celestial bodies deemed offensive. For instance, the Eskimo Nebula, which was actually discovered way back in 1787 by William Herschel, now going to be referred to as NGC 2392, and the Siamese Twins Galaxy will be known as NGC 4567 and NGC 4568. Of course, they have to be identified separately. NASA said in a statement that, quote, as a scientific community works to identify and address systematic discrimination and inequality in all aspects of the field, it's become clear that certain cosmic nicknames are not only insensitive, but can be actively harmful. NASA also announced that they'll continue virtue signaling for as long as it's popular. Well, if the normal mainstream media isn't enough to make you want to build a bunker in your backyard, try this one on. The Satanic Temple recently announced that they're raffling off a free abortion. Yep, they're raffling off a free abortion. It's done in an effort to promote their religious abortion ritual, which is part of an effort to fund their planned challenges to state abortion laws. The temple claims that abortion is a vital part of its seven tenets, particularly Tenet 3 and Tenet 5. Tenet 3 says that one's body is subject to one's own will alone, and Tenet 5 states that belief should conform to one's best scientific understanding of the world. Recently, the temple has asserted that its members are exempt from state laws that might block access to abortion during the first trimester because it violates their religious rights. According to the Friendly Atheist blog, I guess that's better than an unfriendly atheist, the temple compares their abortion ritual to baptism and communion. Seriously, they said that no Christian would accept a mandatory waiting period before they can partake in communion, and no Christian would tolerate a law that insists state counseling is necessary before someone can be baptized. Our members are justly entitled to religious liberty and in order to practice our rituals as well. Lord help us. Well, heading into this fall semester, evangelical colleges and universities all over the country have eliminated more than 230 faculty and staff positions, those joining the dozens that were eliminated in the spring and summer. Schools are citing COVID-19 and ongoing financial concerns due to declining enrollments. Some schools have even completely closed. Nebraska Christian College and Concordia University in Portland shut their doors back in the spring. Representatives from the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities say that eliminating positions in some cases mean laying off faculty and staff, but more often, administrators are making cuts by not filling vacant positions and declining to replace people who have retired or taken other jobs. The large challenge for universities at the moment is not knowing what to expect. The dramatic changes from year to year, whether they're caused by enrollment decline or the pandemic, make it very hard for universities to plan for the future. And that's just what we don't need, our young people having to go to government-funded institutions. More Wretched Radio on the way and still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
Books of the Bible. The gospel is present throughout all of Scripture, beginning with the book of Genesis. Immediately after the fall, God promises a Messiah who will crush the head of the serpent. Even in the Garden of Eden, God was preparing the means of our salvation through Jesus Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Exaggeration or reality? This is Wretched Radio. A headline from, where's my glasses? New York Times. It's the New York Times. We'll blame everything on the New York Times. All the negative Christian news that's fit to print. Headline, churches open doors and the virus sweeps in. Is that true? Are churches to blame for assembling at all? Are we the cause of the pandemic? Doesn't that sound somewhat familiar when you think about the blame shifting toward Christians throughout history, starting with Nero? Yeah, that fire. I think it was the Christians that did it. Now, the New York Times is trying to find some statistics to blame people getting sick and dying on Christians? Is that true? Quote, more than 650 coronavirus cases. Now, you have to remember that's a case. That doesn't mean somebody died. It doesn't even mean that somebody got sick. It just means 650 coronavirus cases have been linked to nearly 40 churches and religious events across the United States during the pandemic. 650. Now, I don't know how they link it to a church. I don't know that that can be done. It seems to me you could have gotten it on your way to church, on your way home from church. Nevertheless, they'll just play along. 650. Do you know how many cases of COVID there have been in the United States? Cases, not deaths, cases. 5 million. I'm not real good at the maths, but 650 out of 5 million? I'll tell you what. To the teachers who said, you're not going to be able to carry your calculator around wherever you go, 650 divided by 5, 1, 2, 3, 50, 500,000, 5 million equals 0.00013 cases. That is a tiny percentage. And yet the New York Times, churches open doors and the virus sweeps in. By the way, that story and those statistics were repeated not once, but twice. Was that news that's fit to print? Was that real science that allows such a sensationalistic headline? I don't think so. There is historically an attempt to blame people groups for problems, usually religious people groups. Ask the Jews. They'll tell you it's happened a lot. Headline number two. This is from The Federalist. Nearly half of young Americans say it's okay to fire people who support Trump. Did you catch that? Half of young people in America say it's okay to fire people who support Trump. You say, what does it have to do with Christian persecution? In their mind, somebody who votes for Trump and an evangelical are one and the same. That's all there is. It's one and the same. You say you're an evangelical, you love Donald Trump. You say you love Donald Trump, they think you're an evangelical. And what is their attitude? Zoinks, Scoob. The Cato Institute, new report, 62% of Americans are inclined to self-censor what they say politically because others might find them offensive. 62% don't say what they want to say because they could get in trouble for it. That's called intimidation, and it's working quite well. Thank you very much. Even moderate leftists report they feel increased fear of offending the offendable. While only the most staunch liberals feel free to speak their minds. This is because people who are conservative in any way, shape, or form are being intimidated. And because of that, we're not saying boo about much, are we? The very conservative have been pushed deepest into the closet. They're most likely to refrain from saying what they think politically at nearly twice the rate of the very, very liberal. 44% of Americans younger than 30 believe a company is correct in firing an executive because he or she personally donated to President Trump's re-election campaign. Wow. Wow. What does that say? Well, it says a lot. I think it says a lot about university indoctrination is what it says a lot about, frankly. It also says that the whole idea that you can have a thought that's different than theirs can even be tolerated. It's a one-way street in their world. And this is increasing. This was unthinkable. Even I would say 5 years ago that you would be able to cancel or fire somebody because they voted a particular way or gave money. 27% of people under 30 said they were fine with an executive being fired because he or she donated to the Joe Biden campaign. Wait a second, put the brakes on. 27% say, yeah, and you can be fired for giving money to Joe Biden. What does that tell us? They don't dig much deeper into the numbers, but it seems that a younger generation is more than willing to cancel, whether they are conservative or liberal. That ain't a good trend. Citizens believe it's virtuous to punish you for your personal political beliefs. Now, if that's true for political beliefs, what about for our religious beliefs? Anecdote after anecdote after anecdote, and ultimately it becomes a statistic that is worth dealing with and responding to. Could it be that we are not far away from Christianity being a persecuted faith in America? And it's happening faster and faster, isn't it? You think that that's a ridiculous thought. How many times have we seen the most ridiculous, preposterous ideas become reality? I would just challenge you. Think of the single dopiest idea you can concoct in your head. All right. Okay. I'll give it a go. Speed limits. No more speed limits. You know why? Because white people invented speed limits to somehow keep people down. And you say, well, that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Exactly. And that's precisely the world that we are living in. Are you ready? I sure hope so. Speaking of political news, Democrats will require taxpayer funding of abortion if Joe Biden wins. Nice. Prior to the Hyde Amendment, roughly 300,000 abortions each year were performed using taxpayer funds. This is typically the first piece of legislation that every president signs, the executive order, whether we fund the Hyde Amendment or don't. Joe Biden, he will. No question about it. Even though his Roman Catholic faith is very, very personal to him and has brought him through so many trials. Well, the whole life thing. Yeah, not so much about that. Doesn't inform everything about my politics. The draft supports restoration. There's a piece of the Hyde Amendment. It restores restoration of Title IX federal funds to Planned Parenthood, also calling for federal assistance to be used to pay for abortions in other countries. Cool. Democrats oppose and will fight to overturn federal and state laws that create barriers to women's reproductive health and rights. Ugh. We will repeal the Hyde Amendment and protect and codify Roe v. Wade. That's what you can expect with President Joe Biden. If that didn't make you wince just a little bit. If I might do another shout out for preborn, I'm telling you, they are in the trenches. They're trying to save babies. $28 an ultrasound. Please consider supporting them. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched. You can save babies today with an ultrasound. 80% of the time, a woman sees that ultrasound. She says, I'm going to keep that baby. Please consider supporting preborn at preborn.org/wretched. Have you given any thought to the new normal? Let's be honest. We're not returning to the old normal. I don't even know that that's actually a good idea. Have you been focusing on the things that matter? Was thinking about the last century in America. What have we done good at? What have we excelled at? When you look at our society, everybody agrees, wow, this is like the most advanced culture that the world has ever seen. And I think that's right. But what have we advanced in? And I think it would be safe to say that we have advanced in convenience. We are excellent at convenience. That's why I think the COVID thing is what it is. I do not want to be stopped by this. I do not want to be inconvenienced. I do not want to be knocked out by this. I expect to be healthy because we've done really well with that, haven't we? Trying to make people healthy, keep people from getting sick. We have excelled exceedingly. Transportation, communication, information, running water, electricity. We have so many pleasantries. We live better than any king prior to 1900. That is certain. Any emperor would love to live the way that we do now. But have we focused on spiritual maturity? Have we focused on things like instilling morals and values and ethics and what it means to be a man or woman of integrity? Have we taught our kids history? And most importantly, have we been teaching our kids about Jesus Christ? Maybe, just maybe, these scary stories will do one thing. They will encourage us to perhaps not focus so much on convenience, but focus much more on Christ. This is Wretched Radio. And now, a message from our brothers and sisters in China.
If I have 1 minute for American brothers and sisters, I just beg them to pray for the supply of the Bibles, and God will open the door for the Chinese people to hear the love of Christ.
The government of China tightening the screws, doing everything that they can to eradicate Christianity from their communist regime. Our brothers and sisters, they have a prayer. It is not that the persecution would stop. It is that they would receive the word of God. There are a paucity of Bibles in China, and we can change that and provide the word of God for our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, not just in China, but around the globe. Bible League International, $5 per Bible. Will you answer their prayer? Wretched.org/Bible.
Thank you so much for listening today to Wretched Radio. We love hearing from each and every one of you, whether you send us an email at idea@wretched.org or you leave us a voicemail on Beep Talk at 1-877-282-BEEP. Let me share one of our most recent notes with you. Hey, Wretched, thanks for all the work you do. You have helped my husband and I gain a wider spectrum of resources we can trust and utilize in our personal lives. God bless you, Wretched team. Thanks to our gospel partners, stories like these are possible. After taking care of your family obligations and supporting your local church, if you're able to join us as a gospel partner, we would be grateful for your support. We ask that you prayerfully consider becoming a monthly partner, and you can know that your faithful and consistent support will help reach millions of people all over the world. In fact, 83% of every single dollar you give goes directly to ministry. Visit wretched.org/donate for all of the details. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Don't you just hate it when somebody says, oh, you got to see this video? Well, then prepare to hate this because, oh, you got to see this video. I'm looking at poor people in Eastern Europe receiving care packages from the Tomorrow Clubs. You're familiar with this amazing ministry in Eastern Europe in poor nations. They bring the gospel to little teeny tiny villages, can hardly call them towns. The kids gather, they get loved on, they get treats, and they get the gospel. But now, due to the COVID pandemic, poor people are even poorer. The Tomorrow Clubs are responding in tangible acts of kindness, putting together care packages to bring to the parents of these kids, and with it, they're bringing the gospel. Would you please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched? See the work that they're doing and consider supporting the effort to bring the gospel to Eastern Europe. Tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 64 AD,
After fire ravages Rome, Emperor Nero blames Christians and unleashes the first state-sanctioned persecution of Christians. Roman persecution would continue for 250 years until Emperor Constantine officially recognized and defended Christianity. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Congratulations, you have taken the first step. This is Wretched Radio. Don't know if you recall, about a week ago, shared a story about the church boy who never grew up. And to my at first shocked, but then pleasant surprise, received oodles. That's a lot of emails from young men saying, I'm that kid. Help. What do I do? And to that person who sent in those types of emails, I would say, congratulations, you've taken the first step. You've recognized that you're not as mature as you should be. What should I do, was the question. How do I become a godly man? And I would again encourage all of those young men who asked that, and there were many, well done. You're on the road. Let me, from the Bible, share with you the things that you can now do once you've recognized you're falling short. I say good on you. Now, this is not just a diatribe toward young men. This is a diatribe toward all of us. It's fascinating in the book of Titus. Paul actually addresses young men and young women in a context with older men and older women. It's done in kind of catalog form. It's like, okay, older men act like this. Younger men act like this. Grouping them together. I don't think it's supposed to be done individually. And so I would suggest to you, one of the best things that you can do if you're a church boy who isn't growing up fast enough, find a godly man, latch on to that fellow, and ask him to disciple you. Preferably, it's your pop. But you don't have that in your life? Find a godly man at church. And this is why. Dear senior saint, if you even think about retiring in Florida and abandoning your church so you can count seashells on the seashore, don't do it. We need you in the local church. And if the young men in your church aren't aware of how badly they need you, then find them out and tell them that you would be willing to disciple them. You might be shocked. This is one of the most consistent things that I have discovered about young people, young men in particular, when we go to campuses to witness. Frequently, when the encounter is done, they look at me like, you're not going to go, are you? Because somebody is actually taking interest in their life. You might find that person in your church by seeking them out and just asking, hey, is there anybody that is discipling you? If not, I'd love that honor. And do it. Because young men need older men in that context. Young women need older women to teach them. And as an aside, if you're going through something that is particularly hard, find an elder saint who's gone through that thing. This is where the church shines. You've got a child who is a devil. It's like, how did this? We had two angels, and now we've delivered the Tasmanian devil. This kid is just, where did it come from? Find somebody in your church who's lived through it. You are unequally yoked. Find somebody in your church who's lived through that and learn from them. We need each other for this. And if you're young and you have not grown up, one of the fastest tracks that you can get on is sitting under somebody who is elderly, learning and doing it, because they're going to teach you what the Bible teaches applied to life. So that would be a major step. What else can you do? I would suggest adopt a mindset. And this is for all of us. We are Christians. We're different. We're not seekers of whoop-de-doo, especially at your age. You got to do the stuff that everybody's doing, and it looks fun. And I grant you, it is fun. Okay, let's just say it is fun. But there are more important things than fun. You're just being a fuddy-duddy. Okay. That's called godliness. That's called maturity. That's called putting childish things behind. Am I suggesting you become a drag? No, I'm not. But I am suggesting you start by remembering, I'm not like my peers anymore. I'm a Christ one. I better look different. I better act differently. And people should be noticing it, because if they're not, you're not. We're peculiar. We are counterculture people. Not because we seek to be dull, but because we seek to be godly. And that could be, that could mean to us that we put dumb stuff behind. Dude, do you need to be riding on a skateboard? I just want you to grab a picture of this. I want you to grab a picture. How weird would this be? You go to, well, if you're a Presbyterian, we'll say Ligonier and R.C. Sproul is alive. You go to Grace Community Church, and you just want to see R.C. Sproul, who's no longer with us, but just work with me on this. And you want to see John MacArthur. And all of a sudden, you see their car pull up, gets out, opens up his trunk. They take out their skateboard and vroom, 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 start paddling into the church. You'd go, what is that? What? They're not supposed to be acting like that. Bingo. Why? Because they're men. They're not boys. They're men. Skateboards are for boys. So if you're a boy, skateboard away. If you're a man, put away your toys that are childish and be a different person and grow and become mature. And just in case you're not motivated to do that, first of all, you'll be obedient to what we're commanded to do. You're supposed to be dignified. You're supposed to be racing toward maturity, and you're supposed to be racing toward marriage, by the way. You'll be better suited for a great young woman to say, you betcha, I'd love to spend the rest of my life with you because you're different. Furthermore, the rewards that will come with it, you'll get more promotions, you'll get more raises. I guarantee you, you just will. You'll get more responsibilities, you'll get more stuff. When you strive for maturity and put those silly things behind you, what else can you do? Learn to apply the gospel to your life. When you sin, repent. When you sin against your parents, repent. When you sin against your younger siblings, repent. When you sin against your teacher, repent. Consider yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. I'm not going to do those things. It is not going to be my master. Porn is not going to control me. It's dead to me. Why? Because you died to self, and now you're alive in Christ. Remain humble rather than exalting yourself. Be a servant rather than demanding to be served. Become a leader. If you get married, love your wife the way that Christ loves the church. Live in sexual purity. Honor God with your body. Furthermore, demonstrate you've got control of your body. Would ya? Get control of it, man. Or should I say, boy? Get control of it. It's just so hard. Yeah, it really, I know it is. We've all lived through it. It is. And hey, guess what? It never changes. So you are either going to be a slave to sin and to lust, or you're going to be the master of your body, and you are going to control it, and you're going to be different. And then when you utilize your body the way that God intended it in the wedding bed, it will be more profound than you can even dream at this moment. You can't even fathom what it can be. Kill your sins, or they will be killing you. Seek to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Desire to please the Lord more than self. Bear fruit for the kingdom of God. You want to grow up fast? Here's one for you. Be a member of a local church and start serving. I'd put that way up on the list. Become a member of your local church and start doing stuff for other people without grumbling. You don't want to be the preacher. You want to do what's needed. Start doing that.
Why should I do that, man? They got people there on staff for that.
Okay. You clearly need this more than you thought. Become a member of your local church. You know why? Because some big boys are going to grill you, and they're going to see where you're at, and they're going to show you where you need improvement. Furthermore, when you act in a humble way and serve other people inside of the body of the church, you're going to be growing in fruit that you don't even know exists at this moment. So if you happen to be one of the people who responded to that rather stinging story about the church boy who never grew up, who died on his deathbed, looking at his wife and children with bitter regrets, you don't want that. You do not want that. You do not want your moment of clarity to be your last moment. That would be a really tragic life. Do it now. Do it now. Set your sights on the bigger things. Set your sights on the higher things. And in order to accomplish that, you must set your sights on Christ. Because if you ain't looking at him, you won't have a clue about anything else. You won't have the right motivation. It'll become a legalistic system. You're going to get burned out and you're going to get really annoyed. And you're probably going to have a latter end that's worse than your first. So if you want to be a godly man, you better stare at the godliest man ever, the God-man Jesus Christ. And as you do that and study the pages and see how he interacted with people, sometimes with righteous indignation, sometimes with tenderness, you yourself will learn to become a warrior poet like Christ. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.